have your seat. Really, I don't really know what to say, except that I know God is here and I know it. God is here, I know it. They were about to share grace, and the angel wanted to disappear. And Jacob woke up. He said, so God has been here. And I did not know. Can you jack a friend and say, God is here? I want to thank God for bringing me. Why, about 3 months ago, when it was definite that I will be coming, and I remember calling him, I said, please help me look for a place where I can have retreat. As I told him, is that true? I said, I want to shut down. So she said, no, you are going to have a retreat with us. I was like, you know, it's not where I want to just be among people. And I just wanted to be alone. But may I announce to you that being here became more enriched. I'm also here to also say a big thank you to you for your heart, for responding to God, because if you say no, we will not be here. Please celebrate the gift of God in the house. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Jesus was the one speaking in John 4. It says, if you know the gift of God, we have come to say we know the gift of God in the house tonight. And please don't take it for granted. And this kind of meal is not common. Can you jack a friend and say, this kind of meal? From Genesis, through the history of Israel, you keep on hearing, and famine came. The church is suffering famine presently. And that was the reason why the people of Israel could travel far to go and look for bread. Can you see God just releasing bread for us? I want to say this is not common among men. It's no longer common. Maybe in our generation, when we were growing up, you know, I was telling my son, I said, when we were in school, by the time you go through your fellowship and you are graduating, you are a minister. You have passed through Bible school. You know all that you needed to know. But it is no longer so. And for that reason, God is brooding. Perhaps he has kept some people. You know, I was talking to my husband and said, so where is he? Where does he? Because he's been trying to let us go to Lagos to go and fetch you. He lives in Lagos. Yes, we just, okay, he lives in Lagos. It's okay, it's okay. Lagos people are not serious. Can you imagine? That would be the my canal man. Hallelujah. Beloved, don't take these few moments that God, when I say few moments, from the beginning till now, it's still 1 minute before God. We are yet to spend time. There is a meeting I used to have back to Bethel Retreats. You know, we were there from Friday and we're supposed to share grace on Sunday. And as I came up, I just came. just came, and these are Jews' wives. They were itching to leave. Some husbands were waiting. I just came. Lord, you just arrived. We've been here since Friday. We were the one that were there. But for him, he just arrived when we're about sharing grace. And that was around few minutes to eight. Then some sisters who carried their bag and they were leaving, they got slain. And some, we couldn't just leave. We couldn't just leave. And you could not hang it on somebody. It was somebody saying, God came. I want to tell you, God has come to us.
Amen.
God had come to us. Please, let me just share a scripture. Matthew 11:28-30. He has said so many things. Please let me celebrate our pastor from the United Kingdom. We celebrate you. Thank you for your hearts. Amen. I celebrate all of you too. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all your labors over our children. On behalf of all mothers, I want to say thank you for this investment and for this altar. A lot of us have been on marathon fast, trusting God for the salvation of the generation of our children. And I believe this one of the altar that God has raised. Hallelujah. So Matthew 11. Okay, before I also go to Matthew 11, now to the audience. You look at the book of Luke chapter 5. The Bible says multitude were pressing hard to hear Jesus. And I believe that some of them even want to touch him. But I don't know why Jesus would leave multitude. And he met two. Out of the two, he has to choose one. I don't know why you were chosen.
Hey.
I hope you know that there are many people going to church in Canada. How many are we? Why were you chosen? Why did you stray into this place? You didn't even like it. But you strayed. Why was the choice, the lot, fell on your lap? Have you asked him, why did I find myself here? God does not make mistake. He doesn't. There is something about you that you yourself, you don't even also know up till now. You know, as I sat there, I kept on asking myself. If you know how many programs I canceled just to be in Canada. Because if I did it anyway, I just have to come. And so where I was seated there, you know, I kept on saying, Lord, there is something in your heart that you want to bath. We have prayed for so long for a revival.
Hey.
And one of the prayers is, I don't want to go. And they will say, oh, she prayed for that revival. No, I want to be part of that revival.
Amen.
May I announce to you that when revival breaks out, it doesn't come like it's snow that you have now. It doesn't come like that. People will despise it. People will fight it. People will tell you, that's not what we are talking about. I believe, why was your boat chosen? Why are you among the people that God is pouring this? You know, at the time, in fact, the very first day, I was confused in my head. I was thinking, does these children understand what this man is saying? I must not lie to you. And the Holy Spirit had to make me to know that you were just, you are not even as old as these people when I began with you. Yeah. Because when God wants to do things like this, you expect God to go and gather all the fathers. Or gather all the mothers. No. He does not think the way we think. Sincerely yours. He doesn't move the way we move. Please, I want you to cherish what God is bringing your way. It is not common. It was told David that this bread we are giving you is not a common bread. It's not a common bread. It's not. Do you also know that when Jesus have chosen Simon's bowl, and he said, let's have a little stroll. Can we have a little stroll, please? He didn't say, let's run. A little stroll landed him in the deep. A little stroll. God doesn't ask for much. Little. He doesn't ask for much. Just a little stroll. Just tilt a little. And I was wondering, if he now says, let's begin to fly, what will have happened? A little tilting. A little tilting. And that is what he's still demanding from you and I. And the little is asking, we are still struggling with it. But thank God for Simon. Don't forget that Simon was already frustrated, and yet he was still able to go extra mile. Now, he caught several fishes, and that's what the church like. The island of several fishes. And heaven is saying, why are you stranded in this island? That is not the high, it's not the fish. And when you go to the book of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said, by the time I am done walking with you, you forget about fish. But the problem that we have is that the church does not want to be weaned from fish. As I'm standing today, the church of Christ Universal is stranded in the island of fishes, the multitude of fishes. But in the scripture, the man who caught fishes left it. He said, Jesus, there is still yet something about you. And that was the time Jesus began with him. But unfortunately, our fishes were done for. The plenty fishes. You know, I love when you were talking about it yesterday, the glory, the material glory. Yoruba will call it itakun. Please borrow me English for itakun. Web, thank you. Wealth have become web. Web. You know, he didn't lay hands on us, did he? I was thinking he was going to be pressing us down. I was thinking he was going to be pushing us. But the Bible says, when he sent his word, and the word is truth, he will deliver, he will heal. He will heal. The word was just coming. And if you are sensitive in your spirit, the bound by now should be loose. It's not a prayer. It is what will happen when truth is released. And the Bible says, sanctify them by your word, because your word is truth. It is the flushing. God was just doing the flushing by the word. How many of you have gone to the washroom to wash your hands? Do you use just very little water? The thing gushes out. You know, because we needed to be flushed. The body needed to be flushed. And we have only come for, you know, as I said, I said, Lord, it's just a fresh bath. It's a fresh bath. I'm just here to have my bath. Flooding with the word. And sanctification will be natural. We'll just be normal. We will not be preaching about holiness. Holiness will just be normal. It will just, it's our nature. Hallelujah. We're trusting the Lord to deliver us from that island of what? Fishes. Now, when you were saying 101, this is my discipleship 101. So I thought perhaps he has gotten one of my books. Sir, what you are doing, I do it in my little way at home. Gathering people. About 8 years back, God said to me, "Redisciple my church." And for that, and the first experience I had, you know, in this, maybe when we'll get to it, but I will send one to you so that you help me criticize it a little and add little. Hallelujah. I was teaching, and a woman stood up and was crying. I said, "Please take it easy." He said, "Mommy, don't say that." He said, "I've been ordained as a pastor for 18 years. I asked myself, what have I been teaching my people?" He said, "All that you are saying, I have not heard them." And I was like, but these are the things that made us. I was not ordained when I knew all these things. Am I making sense to you? And I pray, please don't take it easy. Don't take this thing. And please, can you help me counsel somebody seated by you and said, "You have not heard all these things. When you leave this place, you go and sit with it again. You hear and hear and hear and hear and hear and hear. Until it form and frames your thinking, your reasoning. It becomes your habit. That's when I will agree that you were part of this meeting." Now, Matthew 11:28-30 said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?"
Rest.
No, shout it.
Rest.
Rest. Say rest one. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Another version said, "Learn of me," meaning swallow me verbatim. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest," say rest too, "for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Different thing pursue us to Jesus. But those people who took it very lightly are our children that we battered into Jesus. We battered them and they just thought they have seen Jesus. It was assumption. And even we, their parents, thought they have seen Jesus. When they were coming out, if you were born in Africa where I came from, the first thing you are going to hear is kakapa yakote ke. And so the conclusion. Hallelujah. The conclusion is that he's born again. Many errors. Costly assumptions. Then we also, there is what is called churching. Please, if you don't find it in English, just take it. Add it to your dictionary. There is what is called churching. So we make people feel churching. And we grow them. So something tells us, because they have grew up among in the church, they can speak so many of our languages, we concluded that what? That they have met Christ. And that is the assumptions of several churches where we came from. Like I said, different thing brought us. Some fire pursued them from dream. Some it was masquerade. Some it was overwhelming Jordan. Some they got stranded at Red Sea. They said, where are we going to go? And they pursued Jesus. They came. Jesus, we are here. We have come. And their body was actually lifted. And Jesus gave them one rest. And I call it pseudo rest. Yes. Sweetheart, can you come? This lady with shawl. Yes. Is that a shawl? Long one? Just come quickly. After now, I will just leave it. Praise God. On the neck. So why she ran? Come to Jesus. And she said, I have rest. He has given me rest. Jesus said, no. Take my yoke by yourself. It is you that must take it. Don't let your mommy carry it for you. Because if your mommy carry it and tie it on your neck, you say, mommy, force me. Do you also know that he did not say, pastor, tie it on their neck? He says what?
See.
Who should take it?
See.
And that is the will of God. I say, the will of God does not have option B. Take the yoke. Do as I do. Do it. It's a practical thing. Jesus is on the other side. She is on the other side. If Jesus says, I'm going to the north, and she, I don't have appetite for the north. Are you getting it? Jesus say, I'm going forward. Say, I'm tired. Do you know why the yoke is on the neck? The moment you say no to his will is death. Because once the neck go off, is death. So you don't bargain about God's will. It is the will of God for me to be here. There is no bargaining. Bargain means death. Now, still put it. You see, did you see? That is eggs.
Sorry.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I kept on hearing him. Growing up unto his stature is not bargainable. Two animals that are yoked together must be of the same height. Otherwise, Jesus can't die anymore. The one that will suffer if you refuse to grow up is who? So pastor shouldn't beg you to grow up. Your mommy shouldn't beg you to grow up. Nobody should beg you to grow up. You are the one to create the desire, the longing. As the dead pants after water, so my soul longs after you. To grow up, you can't continue. You can't afford to continue to crawl. You can't. Then why she ties it? He did not say, learn of her. He said, learn of me. Me. So whatever you see me do it. Everything you just see me do, just repeat it. Are you getting it? And he was able to say, this is where we are going to begin from. He said, number one thing to learn is what? Me. I am meek. So when I see you doing like that, I know you didn't go to his school.
Yeah.
You can be a pope. Mm-mm. Thank you.
you can be a pope.
Sincerely, or you can be a bishop. Anytime I begin to smell arrogant, I know you didn't go to his school. You didn't go. Because the elementary thing you are first to learn, two things, gentleness and meekness. Sir, when they want to spoil it, they started speaking English. Some of them will say, I am, tell me now. No. I am sanguine. I am melancholy. I am choleric. That's why you see me being like this. Excuse me. When melancholy passed through that school, when sanguine passed through that school, when that one that it doesn't matter what nature you say you have, the moment you pass through that school, as you are coming out and graduating, meekness is written over you. Lowliness is written over you. You are gentle, and people are saying, what has happened to you? You say, Jesus passed me through his school. And that is when you can have voice to preach. Am I making sense to you? You see, it doesn't matter when you escape that school. You have shot yourself on the head. And may I announce to you, several have omitted this school. The reason why the church is suffering what it's suffering now is because this school has been erased. And when you learn of it, when you learn of Jesus, the Bible said you will find the second rest. Many, and when I stand here, by the grace of God, I've been ministering for over 34 years. And I want to tell you that you go from church to church, and what you are hearing is that I'm dry. It's because they got stranded at the first rest. Some people will say, come to church. Church is not your problem. Mm-mm. It is because you refuse to learn from the Christ of the church. You learn from, he said, learn of me. He did not say, pick from me. Some of us will say, I like his hand. I do not like his leg. You know, his leg means missions. But his hand to get wealth, I like. But the going leg, I don't like. Jesus, when you are talking about your going leg or bending leg to pray, if I'm praying and praying and nobody sees me, I don't like that one. Mm-hmm. He says, swallow me verbatim, and you are what you eat. You are what you eat. Yes or no?
Yes.
You are what you eat. Take me in. And you know, many things we pick. Now we have Christians that are picky now. Picky Christian. You see, I don't like this. I don't like that. No, excuse me. Even when they get to Bible, they like, we are the New Testament. Sir, I love the way you were breaking the Old Testament, and you are bringing Jesus out of Old Testament. My father in faith says to me, when you stand to pray, he says, or you stand to ask questions, he says, you must have an answer from the Old Testament, New Testament, and a statement in Jesus. He said, if you can establish that, he said, be very sure that those prayers are heard. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, beloved, there is nothing called selective Christianity. It is the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we have three things. The redemptive power that is redeeming the people of God, and the redemptive purpose. If those three are not established, the truth of the matter is, then we can't have the redemptive community that Jesus is looking for. The redeeming power. The redemptive people that we call the redeemed. I don't mean the redeemed church of God, though. I mean the body of Christ. Then the third one is the redemptive purpose, which will give back to the redemptive community. And presently, the church ought to be the redemptive community. We are gradually losing the grip of the redemptive power, where people can come in our midst and they will get convicted of their sin unto conversion. The Bible said when they gathered in Acts chapter 2 or chapter 4, the people were afraid to join them because of the active redemptive power. You will ask yourself, should I not? So I will not be too surprised if people are not just flooding to join us, because we need to sustain the redemptive power, where the sinner live and he will not sin anymore. He hates sin. He detests it. Thank you for that English. He hates it with passion. A natural flow of God's gifts and grace, which I saw here. Sir, I used to have understanding of interpretation of tongues, but you woke that giant up in me as you were standing up. You know, I was like, who? You mean? I don't know who I was. Okay, I was telling Brother Jeff when he was saying thank you for coming. I said, why are you thanking me for coming? I beg. I said, don't you know that axe hedges can be blunt? God wants to sharpen my axe hedges. I said, perhaps the axe head is even lost. I will recover it here. I was just saying it, and he was looking at me. Excuse me, the day you get to a place where you are plateau, you are dead. In the faith, you are either climbing up or you are going down. If you are in any meeting and nothing is added to you, please, it's just best for you to know that you are a Lazarus that is about to die. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and yet he still died. But thank God for Jesus who rescued. Thank you, sir, for God raising you to come and rescue this generation. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Praise the name of God. Can we just give a round of applause again for the grace of God upon Reverend Mrs. Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you so much, Mommy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for blessing us. We give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Learn it. Learn it. Learn it. Your stature is important. Your stature is important. Your stature is important. For this is an instruction to you. For you must keep your stature. You must keep growing. You must grow. You must grow. You must grow in Him in all things until you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You must grow. You must grow. You must grow. You must be committed to your growth. You must be committed to your growth. You must be committed to your growth. You must be committed to your ascension. For you must ascend from the grave. grave. You must ascend from the grave. For this is the time and this is the day where the Son of God is speaking. And they that hear his voice shall come out of their graves. So come out and grow up. And grow up. And grow up. Grow up in him. Grow up. Get stature. Get stature. Acquire stature. Even receive holy things that will make you pure. That will make you grow. That will make you grow. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up in him. Grow up in him. And keep your growth.